These last weeks, we've been journeying with the Israelites out of Egypt and into the wilderness. We've watched them leave behind everything they knew, only to find themselves in a world they knew nothing about. And so far, this world is not being much more kind to them than the one that they left. So this morning, we find them in the wilderness complaining, murmurando, that they don't have enough food. And perhaps many of us have been taught to read this text as an opportunity to chastise the disbelieving Israelites for their lack of faith. And there's something to be said for that. But it sometimes comes across a little like this. Oh, there they go again, complaining in the wilderness. Why can't they just trust the God who led them out of Egypt? When will they stop whining already? But when you think about 3.5 million people on an island begging for water and food and electricity, while their elected leader tweets about national anthem protests, it puts their complaining in perspective, doesn't it? When you think about those same protesters nonviolently responding to this country's toxic nationalism at the cost of black lives, only to be told once again that they're doing it wrong, it kind of puts their complaining in perspective, doesn't it? The people of Israel had every right to complain, to worry, to wonder if they were going to die out in this wilderness. Far from Egypt, far from the promised land, far from everything. And lo and behold, once again in a blaze of glory, God shows up for them, surprising them with a strange, unknown substance they did not ask for, did not expect, and maybe even didn't really love at first sight. I'm just saying. We even hear them in the story puzzled and confused by this strange encounter, asking each other, "So what is this stuff anyway?" As we gather for World Communion Sunday and begin our October emphasis on stewardship, I'd say this is a text that whacks us right in the face, doesn't it? Because this story is a global story about people all over the world asking if there really will be enough resources, money, aid, food, water, land, freedom, opportunity for them. And this story is a local one too, right here at Calvary Baptist Church, where we are currently asking, is there really enough to go around here? Will we have enough giving members to cover deferred maintenance on an aging building? Will we have enough in the endowment to make up for financial losses we endure each year? Will there be enough to see this place into the next 100 years of life? Adam Copeland, in his book, A Holistic Approach to Stewardship, describes most stewardship campaigns this way. I'm sorry. Those words often accompany stewardship conversations in many congregations today. Pastors explain, I'm sorry for the awkwardness of needing to raise my own salary, but it's time for our annual stewardship campaign. Treasurers announce, I'm sorry to share that we are behind on our budget. Members say, or at least think, I'm sorry we have to talk about money. And in church, of all places. So I'll go ahead and name that I'm not sorry. That we'll be talking about stewardship this coming month. I'm not sorry that we'll be talking about the ways that God gives us things like time, imagination, energy, and in money, and invites us to think well and deeply, intentionally, and generously about how we use those things. Because here's the thing, for what it's worth, in case you didn't know this, I'm mostly talking to a sanctuary full of givers. There's nothing to shame you about here. You give generously to this place. For those of you who don't but can, please do. Let's have coffee or lunch or dinner about what that might mean practically for you. For those of you who don't, because unjust economic systems make it difficult for you, we pray that we are being a church that helps transform that injustice into equality and abundance. I'm not sorry to be talking about stewardship this month because I'm talking to a sanctuary full of people who care a lot about how we go forward and about what steps we take to tend this place well. And as I invited you at the start of this series in September, we are asking what it means to be a whole congregation. A non-anxious, centered, grounded, whole congregation. And this moment with the Israelites in the wilderness justifiably asking if there really is going to be enough for them to survive invites the opportunity for us to be surprised by sustenance. Our anxious asking directs us toward non-anxious imagination if we tend it well. How might God be surprising us with sustenance these days? How might God be surprising us with sustenance these days? How is God surprising you with new energy here at Calvary that you might not have had before? How is God inviting you to imagine what you hope most for this place? How might God surprise you with a set of answers you couldn't have possibly ever expected and maybe aren't even so sure you want right now? Thank you very much, Manna. See, these are stewardship questions. These are questions that are meant to surprise us, shock us even into imagination with God instead of anxiety about God. This summer, Sally and I had the opportunity to witness the Washington Interfaith Network in action. We attended a direct action community meeting in which a number of demands around living wage jobs, affordable housing, and fair pay for our WMATA transportation employees were held up to the mayor of DC. And one of the ministers there leading the action used this chant as a rallying cry for us. He asked us to proclaim together, "There's more than enough." So let's try it together. There's more than enough. There's more than enough. There's more than enough. I gotta tell you though, now that I've gotten you all pumped with that refrain, sometimes I kind of feel like a liar and a charlatan as a pastor when I make a proclamation like that. This week, Sally and I spent a couple of days on the Delaware coast trying not to catch up on email and instead take a couple of deep breaths together after a string of long but beautifully full days at Calvary last weekend. If you want to know what a real spiritual test of identity is like, imagine having a hurricane with your name on it, inflicting inexplicable devastation over a place that holds members of your family on it. Imagine feeling the winds of Hurricane Maria kiss your face after making its way just a few hundred miles off the Delaware coast, while internalizing that that same wind devastated people you share blood and heritage and life with. Let's just say I had my fair share of complaining to do on the edge of Cape Henlopen this past Thursday. It involved lots of colorful language. Is there really more than enough? Is there really more than enough? See, I'm not entirely sure there is more than enough. I mean, just to clarify, in a theological, abstract, God's got the whole world in her hands kind of way, maybe there is. But all that aside, when I see 3.5 million people on an island that bore my mother left without water and food, I'm not sure there are more than enough resources. At least right now, for them, tangibly, there aren't more than enough resources. Sometimes we need to complain. Sometimes we need to be jarred to ask, is there enough? And if there is, where is it? And God, what are you doing with it? And what do you want us to do with it too? What is this stuff anyway? Because here's what I think the church is really meant to be in the world. I think we are meant to be image bearers of this story. Real people who face real challenges about real resources and ask difficult questions about where God is when we need her most and if there really is enough to go around. The church is meant to mirror back to the world the irrationality of sustenance in the face of palpable scarcity. Let me say that one more time. The church is meant to mirror back to the world the irrationality of sustenance in the face of palpable scarcity. We are supposed to surprise the world, shock the world into believing and living and acting like there is more than enough, even if there isn't. If the Israelites just sat in the wilderness waiting to die, there would be no story here. There would be no manna. There would be no stewardship. There would be no struggle. This story isn't calling us to shut up and stop complaining. Quite the contrary. This story is inviting us to be honest about the uncertainty and to imagine what God might offer in response. Even if it's the strangest thing we've ever seen. I know that the Israelites had every stinking right in the world to be complaining that there wasn't enough. Because there wasn't enough. And then somehow, mysteriously, surprisingly, shockingly, there was. So when we take a knee and bow to Jesus, and not the nation state, and not an economic system, and not a set of best practices to secure our financial future, we are celebrating a mystery of abundance that isn't reliant on the things we build, but on the things we simply open our hands out and receive. This is terrifying. Happy Sunday to you. This is nonsensical. This is stewardship. This is the gospel. Amen.